Well, let's have all the choir coming up, getting the choir. We'll start the service in about 4 minutes.
afraid I can't get that train stopped. All right, 431. I hope that puts you in the mood to sing. Saved by His power divine. 431. Everybody take a hymnal. Stand and join us in the sing. Everybody have it, 431. Let's sing out.
I found a friend who is mine.
Put your books down or at least look up and sing. Saved by His power divine. How's the score? When poor and needy. I'm sorry. Here we go.
When poor and needy and all alone, in love they sent to me.
This morning. Good to be saved on a rainy and warm Sunday morning. Amen. Welcome to Columbia in wintertime. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, if it was cold like some places with this kind of weather, we'd have 8 feet of snow outside. Praise God. I'm glad I can see the grass. But we're glad you're here this morning. God bless you for coming. We appreciate you making your way this way. And we're looking forward to a good day in the Lord. We hope that you've come praying and asking God to do something today. If you just come without praying, then it's kind of like going to the meal without your fork and spoon. Amen. You say, well, I'll eat it with my hands. Yeah, but you'll be a mess. Amen. You come to church not looking for something, you'll go out of here and say you had some, but then who knows, your week might wind up being a mess. Amen. So I hope you pray and ask God to be in the service today. Thank you for being here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll ask His blessing upon the service, and then you and the audience can be seated, and the choir will sing another number. Brother Joe Hotchkiss, you lead us in prayer, please.
Bye.
message in that song. Well, we're glad to have everybody here today. We may have some visitors. I didn't get the chance to scope the crowd. But let's stand. We're going to give you a chance to fellowship this morning. Give the choir a chance to come down.
Right. Thank you so much, choir, for the good singing this morning. And thank you again for being in the service today here at Anchor Baptist Church. And just a couple of things I want to take care of myself or have Brian come, and then we'll have another song. I do want to mention, of course, this afternoon or this evening, we will have our evening service at 5:30. And I hope you'll be right here in your place. As you know, we've set some goals for 2020 as far as Sunday school and services and so on. Our goal to average in Sunday school is 66. I'm sorry, 60. We had 66 last Sunday. Well, they trickled in little by little, but we had 68 today. So So that means that we're averaging 60. See, even I can figure that one out. That's easy. If it goes past 4 or 5, I'm in trouble. But right now, we're averaging 67. There you go. So that's good. Thank you for being faithful to Sunday school. And I hope those of you that have not been to Sunday school will come. You'll enjoy Sunday school. We have great Sunday school teachers. Our classes are for all ages, and we'd love for you to be part of it. And so next Sunday morning at 9:30, if you can come. Our prayer room has grown. Several of the men have started coming. We want more of you men to come to the prayer room at 9 o'clock, just 30 minutes earlier. But I tell you, God always will bless a church where I've never been in a church that God didn't bless when people prayed for the services, whether it's before service. Some churches will do it during the week, done that before. Some have it on Saturday morning. But you can do it anytime. And even if you're not here at 9 o'clock, you can still pray for the services. We want you to. But it's just good to get together as God's men in the room back here. The one room's about half full. If we get that one, then we'll open up one of the curtains and fill up another room. It'd be wonderful to have 25 to 30 men back there praying for the services. I believe the glory of God will fall on something like that. So I hope that you'll have part in that. But next, of course, tonight, I'm getting ahead of myself, tonight at 5:30, be right here in your place. And don't forget, tomorrow's the Low Country Fellowship. Those of you who don't know what that is, we have about 30 churches in our area. It's called Low Country, so it actually started down in the Low Country, but it kind of spread out over time, and so now there are several churches here in the Midlands, and even two that I know of in the upstate, near Union, I think that's right, and up near Whitmire. But anyhow, we get together once a month on the second Monday of every month, and we have services. Now, and of course, it's a preacher's fellowship. Doesn't mean that anybody can come. So it's what we're doing. We're having it here at our church tomorrow. We do it in January. And we'll meet, the service will start at 3 o'clock. For those of you that can come, if you're not working or if you can take off tomorrow, I'm telling you, you would enjoy it. You get to hear from some of the local men that you don't get to hear from normally. We usually do in the afternoon service. We have men from the fellowship. We have different preachers that we all fellowship with, and we kind of get a shot at preaching at each other in the afternoons. So tomorrow at 3 o'clock, Brother Josh Lawson will be preaching first. He's from Beacon Baptist Church. That's where Brother Thomas Caldwell pastored for many years, and that's Brother Shelton's grandfather. And he was there just retired. Brother Josh is doing a good job. He's a young preacher. Enjoy hearing him. And then Brother Chris Murray. Chris was missionary to the Philippines for many years. We've supported him for a long time. He is now the field director for the Philippine missions or the Southeast Asian missions. He travels all over the Southeast setting up, starting churches, helping missionaries to get started. Because he's been in it a long time. And he is Martha's son-in-law. We've got some family connection there. And the last preacher of the afternoon, Brother Gene Ryle, and he's not related to anybody here. But Brother Gene pastors over at Gantt Street. Brother Gene Ryle, big church, good church. So, man, great people over there. Brother Gene's a good preacher and a good brother. And so he'll be preaching last tomorrow afternoon. We'll have some of our folks singing during the service tomorrow. Then we'll break at 5 o'clock for supper. Now, we don't have a fellowship hall, which is normally the procedure, and we hope someday to have one. But so we'll break at 5 o'clock and let everybody kind of go their separate way for supper, to a restaurant or wherever. Some of them might want to go to Brother Joaquin's house and eat supper over there. And what do you got over there? and then we come back at 7 o'clock. Now, the 7 o'clock service is much like a normal church service, but we'll have one preacher. That's Brother Brian Gurley. Brother Brian preached revivals here for us, and he will be in later on in the year. But he is now a missionary to Sri Lanka. He made his first presentation last Sunday down in Louisiana. Of course, it was Brother Sorrell's church. His boy pastors there, so that was a pretty easy one, I think. That's who's going to kind of be mentoring him while he's over there. But anyhow, and then today he's at his home church in Mint Hill, North Carolina, and presenting the work there. And obviously they've already taken him on, but that's where they're going to be using as their mission board is their local church. So he'll be preaching tomorrow night. And if you have never heard Brian Gurley, some people think missionaries, you know, they're kind of soft-spoken. Not Brian. Brian's pastor for many years, and Brian's a straight shooter. Those people in Sri Lanka are going to be shocked when they meet him. And I think probably he will be when he meets them, too. Because we understand there are, 300 species of snakes in the world, and Sri Lanka has about 295 of them. So there you go. So I can just about promise. Now, You know, God can do anything, but he'd have to really work hard. I just about promise you that Judy will never go on a mission trip to Sri Lanka. So, because one species of snake is more than she cares for. So there you go. Anyhow, if you can come tomorrow night, the choir will be singing tomorrow night on all the choir folks here. And we're going to have special music as well. So be a good day of the Lord. I'm telling you, they're always great services, and we so enjoy the Low Country Fellowship. And so I hope you'll make plans to be here tomorrow at 3 o'clock if you can. And then tomorrow night, certainly at 7 o'clock for the evening service. Folks to pray for real quickly, David Aldrich, Inez and Dot's nephew, right? Where's Dot? Nephew, that's their brother's boys in Richland Hospital having some kidney trouble. Brother Don Alvarado's son, David. Pray for him. He's having some issues. Pray for him if you would. Of course, Julie Wells will be having her surgery next week, right? And on the 17th, that's Steve and Gail's granddaughter down in, they have the surgery down in Augusta. Continue to pray for Kathy James, Bruce Michalski, Jim Clower, Rhonda Hale. Sabine, continue praying for her, but it looks like it's possible she may be coming home from Oregon in February. And so Joaquin sure looking, he hadn't seen her much for several months. And she's been there out there getting some treatment for a health issue she had. And so she'll be home hopefully in February. And then Brother Robert Spears has a 6-year-old daughter, Austin, who's got some congenital heart disease in New Mexico. And she's been having some issues. Have you heard any more from that, Brother Robert? Okay, so waiting on some surgeries. Of course, you know how that is with children when they have that problem. So please remember that in prayer also. I also have a card here I want to read real quick, then I'll turn it over to Brian. It says, "Dear church family, God's word says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are so thankful to have a church that practices this truth. Our hearts are overwhelmed by the love and support you have shown us. We love each and every one of you, like the song says, for I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. God is so good, and we look forward to that glad reunion day with our baby. God bless each of you abundantly, Brian and Bethany." And so we're thankful that they're back with us now, and that God has seen them through this issue. Of course, we'll still be praying. As many of you know, she had a miscarriage a couple weeks ago. And so we have a grandchild, but it's in heaven. And so I don't have any pictures, but that's all right. I got one in my head. It's just like his grandpa. Amen. I'm telling you. But in heaven with lots of hair and not a lot of girth. Amen. So he or she is way better looking than grandpa is. I promise you that. But anyway, we're glad to have them back. And really, thank you not only for praying for them, but for Judy and I, Steve and Gail. The way you've prayed, showed your support, calls and texts. Really do appreciate that. And it surely makes a difference when you got folks that you know care about that and care about you. And that's the way it should be at the house of God. So thank you so very much from all of the family. Okay, come on, Brian.
You mentioned all the other stuff besides the Low Country Fellowship coming up here. This afternoon, we'll have choir practice at 4:30. So you've had a couple weeks off. You get right back in at choir, 4:30, right before the evening service at 5:30. This Wednesday night, of course, we'll meet at 7 o'clock. And then Saturday will be the third Saturday of the month, so that's our scheduled door-knocking time for our men. Sewing Saturday, 10 o'clock Saturday morning, meeting right here and getting out in our neighborhoods. The Rusty Anchors will have a meeting on the 21st, Tuesday the 21st. Y'all keep that in mind. That'll be at 10 o'clock, I'm assuming. I didn't pay attention real close, but 10 o'clock, Tuesday the 21st. And Miss Judy's flagging me down. Go ahead. Right. Did y'all hear that? Team one for a few minutes after church. I didn't hear all of it because I got bad hearing, but I think y'all heard better than me. All right. Thank you.
Well, I'll do a couple things real quick. If you have thought about joining the choir, tonight would be a great night. We're going to be looking at some new music as well as reviewing some old. A couple ladies I'm not going to look over that way that have talked about being in the choir, and there are a couple men that I've talked to about being in the choir. And if you think you'd like to sing in the choir, 4:30 tonight would be a great opportunity for you. Number six. Oh, I tell you, before we do that, let's do birthdays. I promised last week, and Shelton's back here somewhere. But if you had a January birthday, I want you to stand. January birthdays, okay? Here comes Shelton. He hears me. Okay, I only saw four names up there, so great. It's about double here.
Happy birthday to you.
You can be seated. Any January anniversaries? January anniversaries. Okay, Brian and Bethany. Let's sing to them.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy
take your hymnals, hymn number 60. Hymn number 60, let's stand. Sing The Way of the Cross Leads Home. Number 60. Sing together now.
I must lead go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gate of Christ.
I just enjoying y'all singing, so I just sat down and hope maybe sing again. Come on, ushers, while they're coming. All right, good to have the Strozier family back. They've been down in Florida for the holiday, and so good to have them back with us today. And then, Miss Lisa, introduce again your young lady is a exchange student that's staying with them and going to Ben Lippin School from Vietnam. You mind introducing her to everybody? Ben Lippin. And how do you pronounce her first name? Pam. Okay. I didn't bring the card with me, and so I wanted to, that's why I didn't attempt to do it until you introduced her first. But we're glad to have this young lady. Okay. And where is she from? China. How about that? Well, great. So that's neat. I always like that exchange student. I thought that's pretty neat. And so you get to learn some different cultures when you do that, and that's great. So we'll look forward to meeting her maybe next week. All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing on the offering. If you have not yet turned in your faith promise card, be sure and do that as soon as possible so that we can get a final tally on our faith promise for this year. And all that money, of course, as you know, goes to missions, okay? All right, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and Brother John Gardner, you pray for the offering.
Getting your Bibles ready, and right before Pastor comes this morning with a message, we're going to sing, our family's going to sing, Oh, What a Difference Since Jesus Passed By.
Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Cry and oh, what a difference.
Yesterdays were buried in the deepest of the sea. That old load of guilt I carry is all gone, praise God, I'm free. Looking for the bright tomorrow where no tears will dim the eye. But oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by.
Always makes a difference when Jesus passes by.
You get to heaven, ask Moses how it was when God, who is Christ, passed by that cleft in the rock. Moses just saw his back, and he glowed for 40 days and nights. You know how it'll be for us. The Bible said, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Can you imagine seeing God face for the first time? And then when you see him, you won't be afraid. If you're saved, you won't be afraid. You know, after I left home and was gone, and I was teaching in the school back then, and so we'd have Christmas break, and so I'd go home for Christmas. Been gone for a few months, and I'd go home, and I'd meet my parents. They'd meet me at the door, and afraid to see them. I was thrilled to see them because they're my parents, and I was their son. And so when we get to heaven, think about it, when we see them, it's going to be our father. Because we're his children. What a day that's going to be. Can you imagine? That's by the pool of Siloam, and that lame man got up and walked out of there, didn't he? By Bartimaeus and gave him his sight. Asked by Zacchaeus and saved him. Amen. So I'm telling you, what a difference when Jesus passed by. Thank you, Masculier family. Psalm chapter 1 this morning, the Psalms, the very first Psalm, page 599, if you should happen to have a Scofield Bible. Psalm chapter 1, a familiar passage of Scripture. I preached from this on several occasions, but I want to look at it from a little different angle, if I might. Usually when we read the first Psalm and its instruction concerning how we are supposed to live, how what we have to look out for and what we should look forward to. Well, I want to look at this again, and again, as I said, it's a familiar passage. I want you to notice, I want to look more at the individuals that God is speaking about through David in the first Psalm. If you'll stand with me, please, if you're able, and we'll read, there are six verses, so it won't take very long, and we'll read all six verses in Psalm chapter 1, or the first Psalm. Notice the Bible said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Ungodly are not so. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, the way of the ungodly shall perish. Father, we love you today and thank you for the service thus far. A wonderful Sunday school hour. Then, Lord, the good choir singing, the Mascalier family, the congregational singing has all been a joy to my soul. But now, Lord, we accept and we perform the responsibility for which you've called us. That is to open up and break the bread of life, to feed the sheep, as you told Peter. Lord, I pray that we will give the truth as it is written in God's word. Hide me in the shadow of the cross this morning. Help me not to say anything that would bring reproach upon your name. Lord, help me to proclaim the truth of God's word. And then, when I'm through, we leave it up to the power of the Holy Ghost to do his work in hearts and lives. Thank you for everyone that's here today. And we pray your blessing on each and every one. We love you. Thank you for all you do now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach for just a few moments on the tale of two souls. The tale, T-A-L-E, the tale of two souls. You've heard about the tale of two cities, a very famous literary work. Well, I want to preach this morning on a tale of two souls. In these six verses, two people are described. Because you'll notice in that verse 1, blessed is the man. Now, we know that in the Word of God, that is an all-inclusive type word or phrase. But obviously, someone, if you're talking about some particular principle or truth, or you're talking about something, usually you have someone in mind. You might say something like, I know a person at Anchor Baptist Church who is as faithful as anybody I know, and I would be thinking about Brother Ralph Hale. And many others, of course. I'm just using that as an illustration. And so when you're talking about things like that, somebody will come to mind. And so you're basically describing their character. Well, here, God, the Holy Ghost, in giving David this psalm, is thinking about someone. Now, they're not named, of course. That's the all-inclusive part of this. But certainly it can be pinpointed. It can be given to somebody. Maybe several. When I give you the message, I hope that God is talking about you or not about you. Because we're talking about two people in the text. Two ideas. Two souls, if you will. So as we read this psalm, as we do in all Scripture, when you read the Word of God, you have to consider, I believe, three different things. Number one, when you read this or any text in God's Word, first, you should do some investigation. In other words, what is being said? Think about what's being said. In the text, it talks about meditating in night. Certainly, God doesn't require you to stop and study all day and all night. Now, if you want to, he won't be ashamed of that. But God does not require that. But the idea is to be prepared to think about when you read God's Word, or if you hear a message, or if you hear a song on the radio. Take a moment, and I mentioned this Wednesday night. That's the great thing about Christian music or gospel music. It's not the music, it's the message contained in the song. And so you meditate, you think about what is being said. When the Mascaliers are singing, "Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by," I think about all of those Bible instances in the New Testament where Jesus passed by somebody. And in case the Bible said, and he stopped. I'm glad Jesus is not just running through this thing till it's over. If you need him today, he'll stop, deal with you, and then move on. And then you can say, "Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by." And so you got to investigate. Now, the second thing you consider when reading God's Word is not just the investigation or what has been said, but also the instruction. What's being said to me? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Not to a group, to a denomination, but to every individual. No one can pick up the Word, and you ready? Even unsaved people, when they read the Word of God, as some do, can speak to their heart as well. We've heard so many stories from the Gideons about people who went to a hotel or somewhere like that and literally with the idea of committing suicide. And they found that Gideon Bible in a drawer and for whatever reason began to read it. And from that, not only did they decide not to kill themselves, they got saved. Because the Word of God, that's what it does. And so when you think about what is being said, then you start to think about what's he saying to me. the individual. When you read God's Word, don't read it considering somebody else. I'm not saying you might not think of someone else in that instance. God is not revealing His Word to you for you to correct someone else. He's revealing that Word to us, for us, if needed, to correct ourselves. The Bible said that the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, what you believe, for reproof against maybe what you've done, for correction, meaning that once you know something's been wrong, you try to make it right, and for instruction in righteousness, how to live right. So, when you read God's Word, there must be investigation. There must be instruction. And then thirdly, there must be inspiration. I call that, what's the result of what you've read? When you read it, now there are some things you'll read that I read every morning. I try to consider and follow and follow these principles. But there may be things that at some point I don't really see or feel the connection. And then all of a sudden, I'm getting down towards the last chapter I'm going to read in the morning, and suddenly there's something that's a boom. So, oh, okay, God, you waited till the last, but that's me right there. That's the way it should be. The book of Psalms opens in chapter 1 here by dispelling the idea that the sinful life is a good life. In this society, the worse you do seems like the better you should enjoy it. And nobody should judge not, lest ye be judged. Once again, the world has certainly distorted and destroyed the principle of that very verse of Scripture. Because what they're really saying is, I'm going to do what I want to, and I'm not going to let you tell me I can't. That's really what, when you hear that, that's usually what they're really saying. It's amazing how they try to hide that wicked thought in Bible. That's the way the devil's been doing it from the start. In Genesis chapter 3, he lied to Eve, didn't he? Surely did. But he quoted just enough of the Bible to keep her attention. But then he distorted it, he destroyed it, and in so doing destroyed the human race. We're all sinful by nature because of that. And so we find here in the first two Psalms, they're almost kind of like bookends, if you will. Psalm chapter 1 speaks about the illustration that Jesus is perfect, and that the earthly view begins with blessing in verse 1. But in chapter 2, it speaks of He as our pattern, how we're to follow Him, how we're to look at Him. In verse 1 of chapter 2, right there you see it. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine of vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against His anointed saint. And so there we have, in chapter 1, he's talking about how the world lives. In chapter 2, he's talking about how they attack God because God said, don't live that way. Why a lot of people won't go to church today? They don't want anybody to tell them how to live. I want you to understand something before I go on. When I'm up here preaching, I'm not trying to tell you how to live. I'm telling you what God says how you ought to live. I just happen to be the human form that you can blame. Right? Now, you know that's right. I'll tell you right now, that preacher's not going to tell me what to do. Now, if I read it out of God's Word, I didn't tell you what to do. I told you what God said to do. Yeah, but I'm not going to fuck with God. Yes, you do. You just don't realize it. Because you know why? He doesn't answer back. But guess what? He's going to. Hang in there, honey. One of these days, He's going to answer. He's going to respond. And if you're lost without Christ, you're not going to like the answer. And so let's look at these verses real quickly for a few moments. The tale of two souls. Number one, notice in verses 1 through 3, we have a spiritual life revealed. A spiritual life revealed. Notice number one, it speaks about the life of righteousness. In verse number 1, we notice that spiritual man's position. Now, it's up to you to determine whether I'm talking about you here, or if I'm talking about you in verse 4, 5, and 6. But I'm going to give you the message and let you and God deal with it after that. And so I don't want you to go out and say, I can't believe he said that about me. I hadn't said nothing about you. I'm telling you before God, and God knows this is true, as my witness, when I'm preaching this message, I'm not thinking about any one individual here or anywhere else. Now, when I put it together, I did think about me. That's the way you're supposed to. That's the investigation, you see. That's the instruction that comes. Now, I'm just going to tell you what God wants me to tell you. So, number one, we find His disposition. The Bible said, blessed is the man. Don't you enjoy the blessings of God? Anybody here not enjoy being blessed of God? I didn't think so. I didn't think so. There's a lot of people that say, God didn't bless me. I did this for myself. I did this my own way. You know, I did it my way. That's my little Frank Sinatra right there. You can see it was no good. Anyway, that's the world's idea. Because I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what God says. I don't care in this day and age. I don't care what mother and dad say. You know, we're only about 30 or 40 years removed from when children would never even consider disobeying their parents. And it was done in secret. Now it's in the open. Now it's blatant rebellion. Now it's, and by the way, you know what God calls rebellion? He said it's a sin of witchcraft. You know what he said in the Old Testament to do with witches? For not a witch to live. Don't you? Aren't you glad that the grace of God is invoked here and not the judgment of God? Because I tell you, a lot of us got away with rebellion when we shouldn't have. If we're in the Old Testament and we rebelled against our parents or against God, they were instructed to take us outside the city and stone us to death. Man, I've never been stoned kind of way, and I don't intend to be now. Amen. I'm glad for the grace of God, aren't you? Blessed is a man. That word blessed there is a plural word in the Hebrew. It's not blesseds, blessed, but it's actually a plural word in the Hebrew. It's a plural word that means happy, happy, happy. Like that. Amen? Don't you like to be happy? Like to be happy, happy? Well, if you'll trust God and do right, you'll be happy, happy, happy. Church, happy. Some of you come in looking like, boy, they're coming to an end today. Because it's cloudy outside. By my gracious, it may be a little wet, but at least it's warm. Thank God's not freezing cold, right? I mean, you can always find the rainbow somewhere, a silver lining in the dark cloud, if you will. But I'm telling you, looking for that in the world's perspective just doesn't last. Because happiness, listen, happiness is a circumstance that comes from you being a choice. What happens to you will determine whether you're happy or not. And the Bible here says, blessed is the man. But notice, this happiness that he's talking about is connected to something that you do or don't do. Here he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In other words, stay away from sin. And if you do, God said, I'll cause you to be happy, happy, happy. Amen. Hey, that speaks of his disposition. It's a plural word. The word blessed is a personal word. Notice, again, blessed is the man. Not the crowd, not the church, not, understand. If Anchor Baptist Church will do right corporately, God will bless the church. If your Sunday school class endeavors to do right, God will bless that Sunday school class. If your family endeavors to obey God from father down to the children, then God will bless the family and the whole. But here he said, I'm talking to you. Blessed is the man. That's a personal thing. You see, if my wife decides to be right with God and I don't, and God's not going to bless me for her sake, God's going to bless her because that's a personal thing. Just like God wouldn't bless me, even David himself, who for all of his life was a man after God's own heart. But because there was sin in his life, he said, God will not hear me until I get it right. We find it's a personal word. That word blessed is a plural word, and it's a powerful word. Why? Because of who's doing the blessing. God is the one that will bless. God will bless you exceeding abundantly above. I'm talking about if you're living right, you're saved and doing right. I'm not talking about saved and kind of doing right. I'm talking about saved and doing right. And that's a personal blessing from God because he's the one that gives it. Now, notice second of all, in that verse, the discipline that's involved. You know, anything you do requires some measure of discipline. Being able to say, you know, all these people that have made all these New Year's resolutions, and here we are 2 weeks in, and already they say 95% of the people that made them have already broke them. Somebody said one time, you know why turning over a new leaf is not something to do? Because if you turn over a new leaf, guess what's on the other side? Old leaf, right? I've heard this said, man, they're as cool as the other side of the pillow. Well, you flip that pillow over and it just is cool, but guess what? Before long, it'll get warm. It'll be just like the other side, just the way it is. But notice the Bible said here, blessed is the man who, and here's the disciplined part, walketh not the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, we're to stand in opposition to worldly counsel. The world says, here's what I think you should do, and if you put that up against what God says and they don't mesh, You better stay away from what the world says, because you're asking for trouble. You're not being disciplined if you decide that you're going to do it your way today and God's way on Sunday. I'll try to do it God's way on Sunday because it's Sunday, but Monday's mine. You are now walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Notice, there not only do we stand in opposition to worldly counsel, but we stand in opposition to worldly conduct. Be careful how you live. You better be asking God to give you godly character. You do when nobody's looking. There are so many more opportunities in this society to sin secretly than there used to be. Well, now, used to be if a man wanted to sin and be immoral, he'd have to slip downtown on those, and every city has one of those streets. Where I came from in Detroit, Michigan, it was Cass Avenue. If you ever heard anybody talking about spending time on Cass Avenue, you knew exactly what they were doing. In Charlotte, it was Wilkinson Boulevard. You ever heard anybody in Charlotte talk about spending time on other than passing through? And you knew they were up to no good. I don't know what it is in Columbia, but the only thing I ever heard of was Bull Street. I don't know if that's the case or not. We're not, maybe not as big as some others, but the point is, they had to sneak around to do it. Now you don't have to. You can pull it up on your phone, on your computer, on your cable TV, and you don't even have to pay for it now. They'll stream it to you live and in living color. I'm telling you, if you start trying to live like the world, Bible said, Jesus said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father, doesn't say was, isn't anymore, because the love of the Father is not in him. Don't run around telling everybody how saved you are and then live, you know, doing stuff you think is in secret. The Bible said in Proverbs, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro out of all the earth. You may hide it from somebody, but you're not hiding it from God. And so we're to stand. Man who stands in opposition to worldly counsel, who stands in opposition to worldly conduct, and listen, and the man who's silent in opposition to worldly contempt. I think sometimes one of the worst things a Christian can do when they're being accused or attacked is fight back. I'm not saying that, you know, the Jude talks about contending for the faith. I think we ought to take a stand for the Word of God, for sure. But sometimes, you know, Jesus gave us that perfect example. Here's a right man being wrongly accused, wrongly convicted, and now wrongly executed. And the Bible said, the sheep before his shearers was dumb, so he opened not his mouth. If anybody could have, he could have. He could have stopped the whole thing like the old song says. He could have called 10,000 angels, destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone, you, me. I'm telling you, folks, blessed is the man that walketh not counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know what sin can destroy a church worse than anything? Gossip. Don't hear that word much anymore, do you? Bible, the Old Testament word is murmur. Same thing. Better be careful who you listen to. Oh, now. I'm telling you, I've gotten in more trouble listening to the wrong stuff. I should have been wise enough to say, don't want to hear it, or let's go get so-and-so and let's find out what they have to say about it. You want to stop somebody from gossiping to you? And they mention somebody in the church, say, let's go get them, and let's see what it's all about. Boy, they'll back up faster than a garbage truck, amen? I'm telling you, because they don't want, never mind. I can't tell you how many times I've had to say, preacher, so I said, well, let's get them. Never mind. What that means? I'm lying. I'm telling the truth. I don't care who knows it. If I'm lying, I really don't want anybody to find it out. I want somebody to say, here's what I want somebody to say. Well, so-and-so told me. Well, who was it? Well, I really can't say. Liar. And you're protecting another liar. Man, is this good preaching? It's the second Sunday in the new year, so I'm past all that new year stuff. Now it's time to get down to business. So the spiritual life reviewed, his disposition, blessed is the man, his discipline, the man who will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. And then notice verse 2, his devotion. Devotion. The Bible says there, but his delight. Where's your delight today? Where's your delight? Do you know whatever you delight in is going to show on you? How many of you folks delight in Krispy Kreme donuts? Especially them hot and now. For when you eat it, it just runs down your arm. Amen. So you can lick it off later and still have the flavor. I'm telling you, you can delight in them Krispy Kreme donuts all you want to, but sooner or later, it's going to show. Amen? Now, there's a few people, I know a few people that, you know, I think, I really, if I was going to get mad at God about something, them people that can eat like a horse and not gain no weight. Because, you know, I've just talked about hot now, and I already gained 2 pounds standing here, and I ain't even ate one yet. Where's your delight? Quickly, let me hurry. Number one, notice he's satisfied with the Word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He also is studious in the Word of God. He's a student of the Word. The Bible said to Timothy to study. Show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible said, notice, he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. day and night. Then, of course, if you'll do that, you'll find yourself stabilized by the Word of God. You'll never read God's Word where it won't help you. If you're looking for help, it'll help you every single time. Now look at verse number 3, his distinction. Notice how different he is from others. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Shall bring forth fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Want to know why America's prospering right now? It's not Donald Trump. It's God. And the same God that can cause us to prosper can take it all away anytime he wants to. He surely can. Why? Because God is looking for distinction. God's looking for somebody that's going to stand up and say, I'm not going to be like them. That doesn't mean that you think you're above them. It doesn't mean that you're better than them. That just simply means you're more blessed than they are. And we ought to live like God's been good to us. Complaining and murmuring and gossiping and being unfaithful. Man, that's not showing people how good God is. It's helping the devil spread the word around that God doesn't really love people like he says he does. Look at that bunch down there at the church. Half the time they're here, half the time they're not. Half the time they're right, half the time they're wrong. Sometimes they read the Bible, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they pray, sometimes... that's God's people. No, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Let me give you quickly, lastly, verse 4 through 6, and I'll hurry along. This is the other soul. We saw the spiritual soul reviewed. Now let's look at the spiritual loss reviewed. Verse number 4, the Bible said the ungodly are not so. In other words, what you just read, skip it. If you're not saved, if you're not trying to do right, those first three verses, none of it means anything to you. Somebody said, well, you know, I may not be right with God, may not be a Christian, but if I, you know, something bad happens, I'll just pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and everything will be all right. That prayer means nothing to you if you don't know God. Nothing. Notice, but what peril is found in the ungodly life? Well, there's a contrast there. It's not so. It's different from the other. By the way, if you think you can live like Jesus here and not live like Jesus out there, and that somehow they'll never mesh or crash, you're in for a big accident somewhere. I'll tell you what's going to happen. I've seen it happen so many times. Somebody trying to play the game, and it won't be long before publicly they're found out. They're found out. I'm talking about preachers, evangelists, church people, Christian folk, people you have confidence in. You better be careful. Somebody may have confidence in you. But if you're ungodly, the Bible said, not so. Not so. It's not going to work. And notice the character is manifested. It'll be like chaff. You know what chaff is? In the Bible, when they would grow wheat. Somehow weeds in a wheat field mimic wheat. Because if you read the scripture, you'll find many times where those in the harvest said, we can't tell the difference. They're so much alike. We can't tell the difference. And God said, well, here's how you tell the difference. Now, here's how they used to do it. Now, they do it by mechanical means now, of course. In the old days, what they did was, they'd get a big old pitchfork full of that weed after they harvested it, mixed up with all that chaff. What they didn't realize was the chaff is lighter than the wheat. The wheat's heavy. And so they would just fling it up in the air. You've heard that old adage, you know, throw it up in the air and see what comes down? Throw that wheat up in the air, and guess what? The wheat, heavier than the weeds, come back to the ground on the threshing floor. The chaff was light. It was almost like remember when a dandelion turns white? Remember I used to pick those and blow them? All those that dandelion fly all over the place. That's what chaff does. The Bible said, and the wind will drive it away. Now you've got the good stuff, and the wheat's gone. You may look, listen, you can be right here right now, acting like a Christian, look just like the rest of us. I'm telling you, one day God's going to take his big old pitchfork and run it into this crowd and sling it up the air, and guess what? If you're not right with God, you're going to blow away. And everybody will know that you wheat. I don't want to be a wheat, do you? I want to be part of that wheat. So notice the peril to be found, and then notice the punishment to be faced in verse 5. The Bible said, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Now, wait a minute. You mean to tell me they're not going to be judged? Not at our judgment. Remember, in the scripture, there are two judgments. There's not one general resurrection and God separate the sheep from the goats. That is an unbiblical principle and doctrine of other churches. We do not abide by that. You know what the Bible said. The Bible said there's first, at the rapture of the church, saved people get out of here, that there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ, Bema seat. And that's where God will judge. No sinner, no unbelievers will be there. Only Christian folk. That's where God will judge us according to our works. About our salvation, that's settled. But he'll judge us according to our works. From the time we got saved to the time we got raptured or died, whichever comes first, you will receive and lose rewards accordingly. That doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. But it is a judgment. You know why? Because judgment has the idea of punishment, doesn't it? You say, well, if I'm a Christian and I go to heaven and go into rapture, God's not going to punish me. Well, yeah, he will. little bit. You stand before him at the Bema seat, and you realize at that moment how low down and ungodly you were, how you didn't obey, and how you let God down after all he did. The Bible said at the end of all that, he will wipe the tears from our eyes. Not tears of joy, tears of sorrow, tears of judgment. Because at that moment, we Christians will recognize how far we missed really being you, God. After all he's done for us, that's a judgment, folks. But if you're here without Christ, you're not going to be at that judgment. That's why the Bible said they will not stand in judgment. Wait, there's another one called the Great White Throne of God. That's when all the unsaved, now the Christians have already been judged, we're in heaven, having a big time, shouting it out. At the end of the millennial reign, God's going to get the whole, all the rest of you crowd, if you're here lost, dead and alive. They'll all stand at the Great White Throne. The Bible said, saw the dead, both small and great. It can be a big shot or a little shot, but if you're lost, you're going to be at the Great White Throne. And there, the books will be open, how you lived your life, what kind of a person you were. Because, by the way, isn't it amazing how people want to go to heaven based on what kind of people they are? God let me in because I'm a pretty good person. God says, I'm going to open up the books and show you just how low down you were. And then another book will be open, which is the Book of Life. And that's the most important book of all. Because if you're at the Great White Throne, your name will not be in that book. Mine is, hallelujah! Mine's already there, written in blood. Hallelujah. Thank God. Can't erase it, can't mark it out, can't blot it out. Won't wear out. There forever. If your name's not in the Book of Life, the Bible says those who are not found written in the Book of Life will be cast alive into the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone. The Bible said, forever. That's the ungodlies. It doesn't matter how well you play the game called Baptist or church member, God, how to separate the chaff from the wheat. So he manifests the character and their course. Notice it says, ungodliness shall not stand in the judgment. Sinners of the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. In Matthew chapter 7, and I'm done. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about two roads. Remember, we're talking about two souls, two different people here. Jesus talked about two roads. That broad is the gate, and wide is the way that leadeth to destruction. Listen, he said, many there be that go in therein. In other words, if you want it, listen, what if I don't get saved, what do I have to do to miss heaven? Just stay on the road you're on. If you're unsaved, you're on a broad road that leads to destruction. And if that's your goal, there are people that actually will say something stupid like this. I want to go to hell. All my friends will be. We'll party down there. No, you won't. There'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The Bible said. Now, I don't believe the Bible. Well, you'll find out it's true one of these days. You'll believe it one of these days. The rich man believes it now. It's too late for him. So the Bible talks about that wide gate, broad way. Then he mentions another way. He said, but straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting. And few there be that find it. There's only one way to find it. So how are you going to get in that straight gate, that narrow way? By trusting the Lord Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father by me. If you're not saved, you're on the broad road, you're speeding into hell. Until you get saved, nobody can stop you. Religion can't stop you. Money can't stop you. Society won't stop you. Satan could care less about you. He's not going to stop you. He's going to talk you into going and then laugh at you for all eternity while you're there. Let that happen. Be the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't be ungodly. There are dramatic consequences between saved and lost. And remember, if happiness comes from circumstance, guess what else comes from circumstance? Sadness. Right now, I'm not sad because this moment in my life, circumstances are pretty good. Now, pray for me. I think I've a pinched nerve in my neck, and I've had it since before Christmas. It really started bothering me, but I've been going to a chiropractor and kind of get me straightened out. But still, last night I slept good. The night before, I was in excruciating pain. And so pray for me. Now, two nights ago, I was sad for a reason. Dude, I tell you, if I don't get any sleep at night, then I make everybody else sad because they don't want to be around me. Last night I slept pretty good. The whole night through, took a bunch of medicine, went to sleep. Slept all night through. The morning, she said, how'd you do? I said, dude, I did good. I'm doing good. So why? My circumstance changed. That's happiness or sadness. Let me tell you something for a clue. If you die without Christ, your circumstance will never be in hell forever.
Just like if you'll trust Christ and be godly, guess what? Your circumstance will never change. You'll be in heaven forever. Just like Jesus. Perfect body, perfect mind, everything just right. Mansion waiting for you. Street of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, the river of life, the tree of knowledge. I mean, Man, listen, you talk about a good life, and that will never change.
Depends on what you want. You want to be on the blessed man side or the ungodly side? The choice is totally.
Father, we love you this morning. Thank you so much for this time together. I appreciate folks being faithful to come, be in the service. God, in God's Word, it talks about these two souls, one that's saved and the one that's not. One that's right, the one that's wrong. One that's truth and the other that's a lie. God, unfortunately, there are billions of people in this world who, if they would really look at themselves as God does, would see themselves on the wrong side of Psalm 1. I'm glad, Lord, that 34 years ago... Oh, sorry, more than that. My gracious. Married 34 years, been saved 45 years it'll be. God, I'm thankful that Jesus passed by my way. That's why when I hear that song sung, it touches my heart. I'm excited because I remember the day, August the 26th, 1976, when Jesus passed by my way. And He stopped. He didn't go past me to save somebody else. He stopped where I was and told me I was a sinner and I needed to be saved. And I said, yes, I want to be saved. And oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Lord, there are others in this room that can say the same thing. Or there may be some in this room who cannot say such as that because they've never truly been born again. They've let circumstance dictate whether or not they think they're a Christian. You know, if things are going good, I must be a Christian. God's being good to me. My, when they go bad, what a difference it makes. Father, don't let anybody leave here thinking that their circumstances dictate their Christian life. May their trusting in Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary and the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sin, may that be what they rest upon. Faith and grace. Father, if there's somebody here lost today, help them to see which side of chapter 1 they're on and make a decision now. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be ungodly. I don't want to be thrown up and blown away. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be like that blessed man in the first part of the chapter. Well, there's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. May they walk the aisle and come to the altar. Help, let us take the Bible and show them from God's own Word how to be a Christian. How to be truly born again. Lord, there may be somebody here that's battling with something, some issue. Something in their heart or mind, emotional, physical, financial. It could be a lot of things, external things, job, home, family, kids. There's all kinds of things out here that circumstances that can certainly change our attitude and change our mood. And I'm glad that God said, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden and I'll give you rest. So Father, I pray if folks have a need today, they'll come to this altar and leave it with God. And wait for God to perform and to answer that prayer. Have your way in the moment of invitation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.